going through the inductive Bible study. It's a method that's been around for many years, and Jim has been, we're blessed to have Jim here teaching us this. Jim is also the International Director of Pastoral Training of Asia. He trains pastors, goes into the Asian countries and trains pastors and trains them in the inductive Bible study. Jim is also senior pastor in Mission Viejo in California. Don't hold that against him, please. Jim, probably 90% of the people in this room right now are from California. Praise the Lord. He started pastoral training in 1987, is that right? Moved there in 1987. So he's been doing this a few years. I'm not going to take any more of the time. I'm going to give it all to Jim. So if you would please join me in prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time together and just fill Jim with his spirit. Father, I just thank you that we can come together in your house, Lord, to honor you, to learn more about you. Father, I just pray that you would fill Jim with your spirit, give him the words to say that would be easily understood, Father. Lord, and everything that is said today would be honoring and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. It's a blessing to be here, and I hope I get to meet some of you personally, and I'm looking forward to this day. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to give you some assignments, so it's not just going to be, you know, easy, take a few notes and fall asleep, or eat the good food that's out here and have some fellowship. So we have three assignments. The first one, it's kind of like if you're out hiking, you know, and there's a mountain. So the first assignment's easy, and the second one is hard. It's like a mountain, okay? And then the last one's like easy. And so just to let you know ahead of time. And so because we don't have a lot of time, we're going to try to move through it as quickly as we can. I'll tell you a little bit about myself, so you might know me a little better. Married 52 years. This is my first wife, and I just have to say that. And I just love her to pieces. She's had to listen to me. I started in church ministry in 1972 as a youth pastor, and my beloved wife has had to listen to me for all those years. And bless her heart, you know. And some of the stuff like our seminars. She's heard them over and over and over and over and over. She could probably come up and do it better than me. Anyways, I'd like to introduce her, and then she'll be free because, you know, she might want to go do something. And Shonda, would you please stand up? This is my beloved wife. Thank you, sweetie. And we have four grown children. We have 12 grandchildren and three great-grandchildren. And I got saved back in 1969 in California with the Jesus people. And I met my wife that just shortly after I got saved. She was a new Christian. And I was passing out tracts on Laguna Beach. And she came up and said hi, and I'm a Christian. So she was only 15. And so I was 20. So yeah, I think that was it. Anyways, and 3 years later, so you don't get the wrong idea, we got married. We did. We got married. She was 18, and I was 23, and about 40 pounds lighter. As I said, I started as a youth pastor in 72. Our home church was Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and Pastor Chuck and Kay was personal friends. He loved us and knew us by, called us by name, and we love him dearly, looking forward to seeing him in heaven, and that's it. I became the senior pastor at Calvary Chapel in Mission Viejo, and then we moved to the Philippines in 1987. So I bought that one-way ticket with our four kids, and moved to the Philippines, and the Lord blessed. We never cried and laughed so much in all of our life. I had no regrets. I'd do it all over again. It was a wonderful experience. for our kid, for our whole family. We've never seen poverty like that. Oh, I saw it on TV with World Vision sometimes, but I never saw it in my face. And so it was life-changing. And the Lord blessed our ministry. We started teaching an inductive method. I could teach it in my sleep. And then after about 4 years, I realized there were some other workshops that needed to be given. And one we do is in marriage and family. And very biblical, very practical. We talk about communication. We talk about problem resolving, you know, conflict resolving. Maybe you had a conflict on the way to the seminar. Can I see a show? No, I'm kidding. And so, anyways, I'm trying to throw some humor in there because it's early in the morning. I don't, you know, it's and then we talk about budgets. Okay, we don't teach you need more money. We teach you need better management. See, that's how it's all in the Bible. And then, and now these are poor. Most of these are poor, dirt poor Asians, and it's all free to them. And so, and then we talk about the traditional roles, the biblical roles of husband and wife, father, mother. We talk about the three enemies of marriage, the world, the flesh, and the devil. When we talk about the world, we talk about culture. There's good culture and there's bad culture. But the Bible is over all culture. And so I love, and at the very end of that, we have a wedding, a marriage. It's a rededication service. And that they're willing to forgive and let all bitterness go aside. So, and it can be very emotional. I wish you could see it. You know, and these are pastors and Christian leaders, and some of them are in tears. You know, it's pretty wonderful. Anyways, and then we have another workshop. It's in evangelism and discipleship. I love that one because where it's legal, we go house to house. And we can do that in the Philippines. We can do that in Thailand. We can do that in only a few other countries. We can't do it in like the Muslim countries or the communist countries. We have to be creative. But we talk about friendship evangelism. You have to be a friend if they're going to get saved. If you don't like them, they're not going to come to Christ. And so it's a very wonderful seminar. Then we have leadership training, Sunday school teacher training. We have a printing ministry. We just got our, our fifth offset press. And we're so happy. It's a four color. It's humongous. We had to break a wall in the print shop to get it in. And wow. And we printed over 11 million gospel tracts, portions of scripture and in several languages, these books. And I would have given you all one, but we're in the process of rewriting the inductive method. So we have these books. And what makes ours one of the best is they're all given free. So we don't charge. And we copyright, but if they want to copy, you know, they can photocopy, it's fine. But we give it to them. And then the tracks in the Philippines, we also pay for postage. Because that could stop a church if they had to pay $5 for postage. Over there, that's a lot of money for a poor church. So we even pay for postage. So God has really blessed our ministry. I wish you could all come. We have short term. We used to have a lot of them before then COVID hit and, you know, things changed. But we have a beautiful place. People can come and, you know, we can pick you up at the airport, put you to work. And it doesn't, even if you're an old geezer like me, we put you to work. But we'll keep you out of the sun and lots of water. And, you know, and there's children's ministries, there's youth, there's adults, there's just medical. We've done medical outreaches, just, you know, and we've been there for so long, we have all these great contacts. And so, anyways, that's something we can talk with your staff, pastors, about that. So, So what can I say? I said quite a lot. We have the three assignments. You're going to work, and I'm sure that's why you're here. And when you're done, you'll have a tool that you can use over and over again. And so that's what we want to give you, a tool, something that you can, on your own, come to the Word of God and say, oh, this works. I'm going to do this. And first time I had this was in college, Christian school, Costa Mesa, and it was difficult at first, and especially it was Matthew. We're going to go through the whole book of Matthew. All excited, open up, and the genealogies. I can't even pronounce half those names. So I was my, and so I think I had about this much done on that assignment. And then I came to class, and the teacher went on, hey, I think 2 hours. It was the most interesting biblical expository message. I mean, Dr. Woods, this guy's, his hobby is Bible. And he said, okay, pass your papers, you know. And so I came up, and I put mine on the bottom. And but when I got done, I had 98 pages of Matthew during that semester, you know. So I learned this method, and it works. It's a good tool. If someone's hungry, you can give him a fish, but he's going to be hungry again, right? But if you give him a fishing hook and some line and teach him how to fish, he can feed himself and his family over and over. So that's what we hope to give you, is a tool that you can use personally and in your family and understand the Bible better. So questions, I love questions. And if they're too difficult, I'll ask one of the pastors to answer them. But there's only one bad question. And that's a question you don't ask. So they're all good. And, you know, I was embarrassed when I was in school and I didn't want to put my hand up. And then somebody else had asked the same question. Wow, good. That was a question I had. You know, so questions are good. And I hope I'll be able to answer them. So any questions so far? What time's lunch? Okay. So... let's get started. I'm going to go for my... I probably just messed the thing up here. You have such nice people in this church. Okay. One thing I love about... This is a blessing with Calvary Chapel, is we love the Word of God. Not all churches have such a high regard for Scripture. And I've taught interdenominationally all over Asia, Southeast Asia mainly, but we've worked with Anglicans that... I remember the first time we did, that was in the refugee camp on the Thai-Burma border, and it was quite interesting. We just love the people there. Sorry, it's for my throat. And they came alive because they mostly don't even know the Bible. They have their catechism, they have their other things, and they don't know the Word of God. So they just were in love with it. And they had me come back just for the Anglicans. We had Baptists and Anglicans together. And they just was like, wow, we can understand the Bible. And that's what people need. And so, but then we've been in some places where they're liberals, you know, and they want to, unfortunately, and they want to argue. I don't want to argue, you know, answer questions and stuff. But Calvary Chapel, I feel really right at home because that's my background. And we have a high appreciation for the Word of God. And it's inerrant, without error, and we believe the Word of God. So this is, you know, it's a blessing for me to be here. I thought I'd share this little point. Yes, I thought I knew the Bible. Yes, I thought I knew the Bible. Reading piecemeal, hit or miss. Now a bit of Psalms or Proverbs, now a bit of Genesis. Certain chapters of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd. First of Proverbs, 12th of Romans, yes, I thought I knew the word. Then I found that thorough reading was a different thing to do. And the way was unfamiliar when I read the Bible through. You who like to play at Bible, dip and dabble here and there, just before you yawn and kneel through a hurried prayer, you who treat the crown of writings like you treat no other book, just a paragraph disjoined, just a crude, impatient look, try a worthier procedure, try a broad and steady view. You will bow in very worship when you read the Bible through. Isn't that a beautiful poem? And, you know, that was, you know, that's with us. We love the Word of God. And I can remember when we first got saved at Calvary, everybody had their Bibles, and their Bibles were all dog-eared. And everybody was reading and reading through. And I think that's the answer for today. And so we need more of the Word of God, and not just a snack, but we really need to feast on it. So I'm looking at my notes here, which is a good thing to do. Okay, so what I'm going to do is explain a little about the method, inductive method, and then we're going to give you your assignment and the first assignment, and we have the questions, and I'm going to ask you to please not look at the questions No, I know everybody's going to look at the questions, right? I missed that one. Try not to look at the questions, because we're going to have you read the text three times. That's going to be hard for some of you. I mean, you can read, speed read, but you want to get to those questions. But we're going to have you read the text three times before you answer the questions. After you do them personally, and when everybody's done, and husbands, wife, please just do your own. Friends, photocopying. Just do your best. You do your best, and that's all we ask, you know. Some of you have been a Christian a long time. You might know it better than me, and that's fine. Some of you, you haven't been a believer that long, and it's kind of new to you, and that's fine. So it's not like we're going to give you a grade when it's all over. We're just hoping to teach you a tool. And so you just do your best, and you'll do great. And so, focus on teaching. This is what we need. There's so much false teaching today, and it just never stops. I got saved, and I told you, in 1969, and they were manifested sons of God. They were the children of God. There were all kinds of, you know, and then, of course, the Pentecostals, we love them to pieces, but they had all kinds of funny things going on, you know. And so there's a lot of false teaching, and there's more. I don't know where they get some of it's really brand new stuff. And so we got a lot of stuff going around, unfortunately, and some of it's affecting even some of the Calvary. So, you know, Paul exhorted Timothy, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be in ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there's an admonition that we need to personally study. And it's not something that we just did, you know, well, I went through the Bible, the whole Bible, I read it, great. But keep on. You know, and don't stop. And just, you know, it's kind of like spiritual food. I mean, Craig took us out, and Sean and I, we went to this Oriental restaurant. Man, food was great. I mean, I ate so much. Oh, thank you, sweetheart. I ate too much. I know that's hard to believe. It was delicious. And I said, I don't need to eat for, you know, today. But you know what? Probably about noontime, I'll be getting hungry again. And that's the same with the Word of God. We need to have it every day. And it's of course, I'm sure you already know that. So Nehemiah, you remember Nehemiah chapter 8? They found the Word of God and they read it day and night. The people just started weeping because they hadn't heard the Word of God. And these are God's people. They've been persecuted. And, you know, they came back and rebuilt the temple, and they started reading the Word of God, and they just started weeping. He says, no, don't weep, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, God loves you. He's on your side, and he wants to bless you. And so they just read the Word all day long, and then they had, explaining it. And Amos, it talks about in 8, the last days will be a famine. What kind of famine? Not for food or bread, but for the Word of God. And so there's kind of like a famine. Jesus said, feed my sheep, repeatedly to Peter. So we don't believe in stealing sheep or exciting the sheep or humoring them or impressing them or counting them. Doesn't matter how big the church is. I never ask a pastor how big your church is. I'd never ask that. Jesus had how many? He had 12. And one was a rat. So he had 11. And so, he just said, feed my sheep. You know, not candy. You know, little kids love candy, right? Our grandkids, they like candy. Grandpa, can I have ice cream? You know what I mean? but you need good food. It's nutritious. It's not always exciting. It's not supposed to excite us always. Sometimes it might convict us. Sometimes it make us feel horrible. And that's okay, because we need to be challenged. And that's the Word of God. It challenges us. And I need that personally. And so, the whole Bible, we really believe in this. some of this I probably don't even need to tell you, because it's Calvary Chapel. It's some of my notes for Asian pastors. Read the Bible through. One of my best teachers I had in school, Dr. Deem, he read the Bible 200 times. 200 times. Front to cover. And he was one of my best Bible teachers. And it's just, the scripture says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so the Word of God does that. It's inspired by God. The word is theopneustos, it's God-breathed. So it's His Word. And so it's holy, it's righteous, it's meant for our good and to help us and direct us. And it tells us to be studious, hardworking students of the Word of God, not just for understanding, but to apply it. Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, before he would preach a book, he would read it 50 times. Just go through it. And he was a scholar, but he'd just read it 50 times before he'd bring a message. Of course, we have put on the full armor of God, and part of that is the sword, you know, the sword of the Spirit. That's our weapon. So this is the most powerful weapon right here, more powerful than a 45, more powerful than a AK-47. It's a 66 caliber. So I like to hunt and fish, so it's probably okay here in Tennessee. Out in California, they think I'm a weirdo because I had a wild hog hanging in our, this is back in the 80s, beautiful, you know, ugly as sin, but I mean, anyways, nice 245-pounder, and I was butchering it, and I had all the neighborhood kids, oh, why, what is that? And then the postman came, and he just stared at it, and he goes, wow, I've never seen anything like that in my life. I thought, my goodness, get a life. Why don't you go to a farm? You know, what do you think? Everything comes in nice little packages from the supermarket? Wow, no hairs, no hoofs, no nothing. You know. Anyways, sorry, rabbit trail. Sorry. So let me explain to you inductive method in a very simple way. This is very usable and easy. Inductive method is you're pulling out of the text the meaning of it. You're not putting in your meaning, but you're pulling out from what it says. There's a two big difference. You know? Inductive, you're bringing out what the text says. You're looking at the words. You're looking at the grammar. You're looking at the order in the text. Webster's dictionary says, induction, reasoning from particular facts to a general conclusion. Okay? Reasoning, inductive, reasoning from a particular facts to a general conclusion. So concerning the Bible, that means you read the text and you pull out of it what it means. You're not putting something, you're not coming to it with your doctrine or your particular persuasion or your theology and kind of making it fit, but you're allowing it to speak to you what it actually says. And so there's three steps, very, very simple, but very, very good. And these are what you want to write down: observation, interpretation, and application. Very simple. Observation, interpretation, application. And it has to be in that order. So observation, it means to look and look again. The more you look, the more you will see. If you look quickly, even though you know that passage, you've read it for 30-some years, you memorize it, and you just breeze through, you're not going to see anything. Anything new, at least. But you look, and you look slowly, and you look, and you bring five friends with you when you observe. Five friends. Who, what, where, when, and why. Okay? Who, what, when, where, and why. So when you're observing, for you read it through, and then you're asking questions. Who is this? Who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? When did this happen? Is this Old Testament, New Testament? Is this, because there's a big difference, right? In the Old Testament, we see Satan was able to touch Job. Well, that's Old Testament. Ever since Christ came in the blood of Jesus, he can't touch us. He can oppress, depress, but not possess. It tells us in 1 John that he can't touch us. So it matters, you know, when you observe, where is this? When is this? What's happening? Why did they say this? What's the issue right here? And you become like a Bible detective. You're looking for clues. You're looking for facts, just the facts. You gather them, okay? The more you see, the more you look, the more you'll understand. That's the second step. So the first step is all important. You want to gather information, just the facts. And I want to tell you, I took that way back in college, and that blessed me the rest of my life, you know. And I attended 4 Christian schools and graduated from 3 of them. I graduated magna cum lucky. It was Lordy, how come? That was it. But I joke with my wife, you know. What do you get when you cross a skunk with a computer? A stinking know-it-all. So I don't want to be that kind of person. And but what I'm saying is, now I completely forgot my point. But you want to look and look. The more you look, the more you'll see. It's that simple. It's like, I work in Asia with a lot of people that hunt and hunt for food. And I say, you go to the jungle, like in Asia, and there's animals there, but they're hiding. They're not just out in the open. Hey, okay, go ahead, shoot me. Right here. No, they're hiding. They're behind bushes, camouflage. You have to look very careful. If you don't look, you're not going to see anything. If you look real quick, you're not going to see anything. You have to look thoroughly. You have to look everywhere. And when you come to the Word of God, you need to look and ask those questions. Who's speaking? What are they saying? Who are they talking to? When did this happen in the timeline of the Bible? You know? So, take your 5 friends. Observation. You're asking questions. You're only gathering the facts. Not what you think it means, just what it says. And you're looking at the grammar, the verbs, the nouns, the pronouns. You're looking at the order. What's first, second, third? Like a good detective, you're asking lots of questions. The more questions you have, the more answers you'll have. You might not have all the answers, and that's fine. I don't have all the answers. I mean, I got all kinds of questions. And when I get to heaven, I got a truckload. But they're not like, life-changing. Like, Lord, why did you create the mosquito? Obviously, that doesn't change anybody's life. So that's not a real big thing, you know. But there are questions I have about the Bible that we don't have answers. But they're not really the main thing. Salvation, redemption, the blood of Christ, the Trinity, salvation through Jesus, through faith. All those things, it's clear, it's right there, it's very clear. But there's some things we don't know, and that's okay. But the more questions you ask, the more answers you'll have. The more you look, the more you'll see. So I don't mean to, this is the most important step. Is the observation. Everything is based on that. You have to concentrate. You have to read and read again, reflect and ponder on the facts. You're looking for key words. You're looking for advice. Maybe there's some advice. Maybe there's a warning. Maybe there's some promises, some reasons, contrast, comparisons, illustrations, repetition. That's always a thing in the Bible. That's a Hebrew idiom. Repeat something. That means, hey, this is important. And so you're looking for all those things, and you're gathering facts. And so that's it. Second step, is interpretation. And that means to explain your observation. What does it mean? And you just become a Bible interpreter. You become explaining the facts as well as you can. And there's some texts that are very difficult. And you might say, I don't have a clue. And that's okay. So you just work with what you can understand. And God will bless you. You just say, okay, I think I got it. I got these, I gathered these facts. And I think it means this. And you work from the primary text. And then you can go outside. We call it the analogy of Scripture. You can go outside the text and maybe find some other verses that help with the understanding of that text. But first, the first thing is you want to work just within that text. And I understand that the Bible, when it was written, there wasn't chapters and verses. It's just books and the epistles. They're not even inspired, the verses in the chapters. Those are put in later to help us find our place. So always keep that in mind. You might be reading and said, you're finished with that chapter, and you go to the next chapter. You know that first verse in the next chapter, that I think that belongs in the previous chapter. And it does in a couple places in the New Testament. It belongs in the previous, but that's where that's how they were cut up, so we could find our place. But just keep in mind, so that even though this is a narrative we're giving you right now, so it's a little easier. It's just a narrative, because there's different types of books in the Bible, as you know. And so we have narrative, we have poetry, you see, and so they each have a little different way of understanding. So, but we're just going to give you, we don't have that much time together, so today and tomorrow. So I'm giving you a condensed, but I've been told that some of the smartest people in the United States are here in Tennessee, so I'm going to believe that you folks are going to be able to get this pretty easy. So, but again, if I'm not clear, please ask questions. And I don't want to say, oh, it's clear as mud. So if something doesn't make sense, please say, I didn't get that. And I'll gladly try to say it a different way. I put the burden on the teacher, not on the student. That's what I believe. So I've been with some guys who go, oh, these people are real slow. And I'm thinking, maybe you didn't explain it clear enough. You can't do that. You have to put the burden on the teacher. And you have to explain things clearly or people aren't going to get it. And it's funny, in Indonesia, a Calvary pastor came and spoke. And he told a joke that culturally no one could understand. And my friend, Robinson Hutapia, he's a Calvary chaplain in Jepara, he said, and he knows our culture, and he goes, oh, that American just told a joke, so would you laugh? So everybody laughed. And he thought, they like my jokes. So he kept on telling jokes. No one understood him. Honestly, it's a different culture, He'd say, oh, there's another joke. And then it just became kind of funny, and everybody's laughing. And he thought, wow, they really like my jokes. So observation, you move to interpretation. You explain the best of your ability what those verses mean. Based on your facts, not based on anything else. And if you don't get it a whole lot, that's fine. Just do your best on that. Interpretation, explain. The more you look, the more you'll understand. And understanding the text will give a good interpretation. You gather those facts. It's okay, like I said, if I don't know what that means. No problem. Third step is called application. This is where we apply. This is so important. You want to apply the Word of God. As James says, don't just be hearers of the Word of God, but doers. So you want to observe. Okay, I think I got it. Look at these. Okay, believe, have faith. Oh, have faith. Oh, that's a verb, right? If it says the faith, that's what? A noun. It's a noun, right? So like in Jude, it says the faith. That means the Christian faith, the Christian belief. But it says have faith. Oh, that's a verb. That's an action. So, And I got all this education, but I guess I can confess to you, I'm dyslexic. I didn't even know what that meant. So I'm such an old guy, they didn't even have that. They just said, you're kind of slow. You ought to go to trade school and whatever. And so I can't spell, I can't write. If you give me your telephone number, I'll write it backwards. Not all the time. It's embarrassing. You have to ask somebody your telephone number 4 or 5 times. Hey, are you deaf? On the phone. No, could you say it again? I just don't want to make it right. I can't spell. My wife can. And spell check is cool. And so, anyways, application. You want to make it applicable to you personally, you see, in general. But you always want to make it personal. If you can. If there is an application. There's not always an application. But you want to make that scripture, what should I do about this? Okay, not just what, but how. You see? What to do. Like, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Okay? Okay, I'm going to do that. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Well, the word love, oh, that's agape. That's a giving. Okay, you see, you're making observations. Love your wife, not somebody else's wife. And okay, as Christ loved the church. Okay, how did Christ, you're asking questions, how did Christ love the church? What did he do? He sacrificed. He gave himself. He died on the cross for our sins. That's incredible. And so you amplify that. You continually ask questions, and then you explain it, and then you move to application. Well, I will love my wife as Christ loved the church. Oh, my God. Okay, well, how do you do that? You have to make it personal. You know, how do you love your wife as Christ? I'll bring my wife flowers. You know, I'll give my wife a back rub. I'll listen to my wife. Yeah, that's a concept. I'm sorry, were you talking to me? No, I'll listen to my wife for 30 minutes uninterrupted. Wow, is that possible? Yeah, it is. So what I'm trying to say, you make it practical and you make it really real, you see, in application. And so you're trying to take the word of God and apply it in your life and not just have it be, you know, a plaque of things to do, placitudes, you know, whatever. So it's very important. Make it practical. We had a member in our church, Calvary Chapel of Missionville, a sweet, lovely couple. And we had a home Bible study once, and she was sitting next to me, and I just took her Bible, and wow, every page was underlined. I mean, Genesis to Revelation. I said, wow, sister, you've really been in your worship. I've gone through, I think she said three times with Pastor Chuck. That sounds like a lot, but she was there a long time. Because that was a big church, and then it'd come out to smaller churches, and we'd get members from Costa Mesa. Wow, that's a lot. She knew the word. But in 7 years that they were there before they moved out of state, she only volunteered one time to do anything. And it was VBS. And then she complained the whole time. She complained about this. The kids are out of the snacks aren't right, and the kids aren't doing this, or we don't have enough. And she just complained the whole time. I thought, my goodness, please don't volunteer again. But see, here's this. She had all this knowledge. You know, it's like a big Charlie Brown head puffed up, you know. And we're good at that because we love the Bible, right? And so, I know the scripture, but it's little teeny legs. So something's wrong with that picture, right? So you can know the word of God, and that's wonderful. I mean, hallelujah. But you better do something about it. You know, application. You got to make it personal. You know, love your enemy. What did Jesus say? Made it clear, didn't he? Love, bless, pray, and do. Wow. He gives us the application. You don't even have to, what is that? How do I do that? Hey, he spelled it out. Who's your enemy? Well, it's probably not the jihadist. It could be somebody in this church. It could be someone in your family. Extended, I hope. But what I'm trying to say is, it tells you what to do. Love them, bless them. You know, pray for them. You see? How do you pray? Oh, God, bring judgment upon them. Let them see their sin. No, that's not what he means. That's not what he means. But pray for them. Bless them. Bless means you say something nice about them. You see? People you don't like. And so, practical application. And this is where the action is. James, as James 1:22 says, be not doers of the word, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So we want to put it into practice, and that's the application. Make it personal, make it real, and apply it to your life. So those are the steps. Any questions about the three steps? Yeah, that's unfortunate. I don't know if you heard his question. Some Christians say, you got to be in the Word of God all the time or you're not really dedicated. And you know, it's kind of sad. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. He's not talking, referring to literally in the Bible, reading it, you know, 8 hours a day. He means walking in his word, you know, getting the word of God in your heart and mind, and then doing what it says. That's a very applicable, you know, application. But there are a lot of Christians. What does the Bible say? It says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So you can, I mean, you can get some Christians that really know a lot of the Bible. That's wonderful. I love the Bible. Don't get me wrong. But if they, you know, sometimes they, that replaces, they're worshiping the Bible, not the Lord. This is the Word of God. I love it. Are you kidding? This is, I love the Word of God. But I love Jesus. And this is His Word. And so I think because our culture, this is a cultural dynamic. We saw this living in Asia because they're different culture. Here, and Paul summed it up. He says the Greeks seek for what? Knowledge. The Jews seek for what? A sign. So you can take a globe, one of those plastic globes, and take a marker, hopefully the kind you can wash off, and just put it right there like this, and everything west, more or less, of Israel, they're Greeks. Everything there, their way is Jews. They seek for a sign. They believe in the spiritual world. You don't have to, we don't have to convince people in Asia that God exists. They all believe in spirit, and that might be the wrong spirit. But the West, and see, that's what the heart of your question. Their orientation is more intellectual, knowledge based. You know, and knowledge is limited. There's a limitation. I mean, you know, not everything is solved by knowledge. And that's where Paul said, knowledge can cause somebody to get puffed up. And so, but that's what we see. When the Asians, when we'd have our visitors come from America and preach, they would usually say, oh, they're very intellectual. That was their response. Very intellectual. And they had all this information. Honestly, they had all, and I love it because I'm a Westerner. They had all this information about the history and, you know, Darius and the Persian Empire and this, that, you know, all of, I love all that stuff. But it was so much knowledge, you know, and so much knowledge orientated. Sometimes it misses out on the personal relationship, you see? Anyways. Okay. Okay. I have a paper here that says, make sure to give them a break or they won't like you anymore. Okay, so we'll have that break. And of course, if you have to go to the bathroom, please just get up and go. It's okay. I mean, my goodness. This isn't an S seminar or whatever. But we will have a break. I think we're looking at 10:30. So I hope that's okay. But if you have to use the bathroom, please, I understand. I'm a senior citizen myself. We found out where the bathrooms were when we first came in. So let me give you your first assignment. And it's very simple. You have your handout, but please don't answer the questions. I want you to read Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12. Mark 2, 1 through 12. Secondly, I want you to read Mark 2, 1 through 12. Okay? And then thirdly, I want you to read Mark 2, 1 through 12. And I want you to do it like this. Read it the first time, just read it through, you know. Second time, read it slower. Look at each word. Look at the grammar. Ask those questions. Who is saying this? Who are they saying it to? And who are those people that's in this narrative? And what's going on here? What is at the root of that question? You see, and you start asking questions. And then the last third time, just read it and say, Holy Spirit, help me out here. I want to understand the Word of God. And I really believe that's probably one of the most wonderful things is the Holy Spirit will help us understand the Bible. And that's why I love Calvary Chapel. You know what they call us in Asia? Baptocostal. And because we love the Word of God, but we believe in the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you know the definition of an on-fire Christian is? That's a Christian with a Baptist mind, conservative Baptist mind, the heart of a Pentecostal, and the feet of a Jehovah's Witness. So we don't want their doctrine, but we need to get out there with the Word of God and share Christ. And we don't want to start rolling up and down the aisles, but, you know, we want to have a heart for God and, you know, the fire, you know. And then, of course, we want to have a good, you know, mind for the Word of God and conservative, believe the Word of God. So, yeah, if I haven't said anything to offend you yet, just wait around. I'm sure I will. But you know what the Bible says? Love is not easily offended. Is that right? Yeah. And unfortunately, sometimes we can easily be offended. I gotta be careful, and I gotta and say, Lord, help me. So, read, and then after you're done reading, you can start answering those questions. And so it's 9:45, something like that. So, whenever you want, you can take, you know, go out and use the bathroom now, or you can just wait till. Because this isn't really, you know, we don't have to really go by all this. But we will be eating at noon, 12. So, but until then, just start doing your work, because we have to work quickly. Oh, yes. Okay. Did you have 4 steps? Yeah, observation. Oh, okay. So what was the question again? Well, we're on the same page. Sounds good. You know what? Because of the time, I probably shouldn't have you read it that many times. Why don't you just read it once? Normally, this is like a 2.5-day seminar. We're putting this, we're squeezing this in really tight. So why don't you all just read it one time and just go through and ask the questions, and that's all you need to do. You know, just read it once. I do this in Asia because they really need, and I have more time. So that's a great question. Let's just have you read it just one time, okay? And then answer the questions, okay? And then when you're, oh, yes. Is it different versions of the Bible? Yeah, excellent question. Does the translation matter? Of course, the best one is the one I have right here. No, those are all good. I have New American Standard. King James is fine. King James 2 is fine. You know, we are absolutely spoiled with the English language because we have over 50-some most cultures' language, they don't even have. Some don't even have the whole Bible, but we have a lot. So, good question. Whatever you have, it's great. Just do your best on that. And then, when you're all done, if we could, let's see, is it 10, 11? We're gonna have you get into groups, okay, and do the same assignment as a group, okay. And this will help you. You'll learn. Imagine that. When other people share their insights. Whoa, that's good. And then I'm going to have a spokesperson from each group come up and just for a couple minutes share what they discovered. See? Does that make sense? And so just do it. Do this on your own. Answer them up. See if you can do it in an hour if you can. Or if sooner, because you guys are bright. You're in Tennessee. If you're in California, I'd give you the rest of the day. It's not that bad. I'm sorry. No. I shouldn't say that. My wife was born in California. I was born in Michigan, so. Yeah, Michigander. Moved to California in 1964. So my mom could get a job. Couldn't get one in Michigan. Women couldn't hardly, so. Any other questions? Yes.
Word for word compare the Thought to Thought translation. I mean, some of the word, thought to thought translations, I always thought
Right. So we have so much in English. So we have Amplified. We have you know, the word different. I'm sorry. I've been away. I mostly teach all this in Asia. So some of the more intellectual questions, I'm not real up on them. But I like it. I mean, I got so many Bibles, I'm spoiled. But when I do serious study, I like to use a serious translation. And so for that, on the top, I like the King James, the New American Standard, King James 2. And then the other ones are kind of cool. We've gone through some Living Bible and stuff. Wow, it's kind of, nice for devotion. But like when you're doing serious study, you want to have a good translation. And so that's, that's always important. So, okay, let's get to work. And work on them, read that scripture one time through, and then answer those questions, okay? And we'll get back in about an hour, and we'll have you get you in groups. We'll see how you're doing. If you get done sooner, we'll do that. If you're still working on them, we'll give you more time, okay? Thank you.